Welcome to The Wrap, a weekly podcast covering women's sports news. My name is Chloe Dalton. I'm an Olympic gold medalist in rugby sevens and play AFLW for the GWS Giants. Every week on the show, I'm joined by rugby aficionado, chief researcher at TFAP and queen of merchandise, Bez. How are you this week?
I'm good, friend. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for delicious quiche deliveries this morning.
Ah, the old quiche.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep it the variety coming. Or just provide the same thing all the time.
So yeah, we need variety. Quiche was a new addition. It was.
Let's take a look around the ground, shall we? Vixen secure a grand final spot. The Blues back on top in State of Origin. And the Matildas in some real trouble against Spain.
For our key story, we'll discuss the return of the basketball GOAT. Lauren Jackson has been named in the Opal squad for the upcoming Basketball World Cup. About 20 years, is it, after she made her debut?
Amazing.
No, more than 25 years, I think it is.
Because she's 41.
Yeah, she started when she was like 16 or something.
Absolutely.
Ridiculous. This podcast drops every Tuesday morning at 6 a.m. and you can subscribe to get the podcast in your ears or the email newsletter in your inbox to read with your morning coffee. The link will be in the show notes. Let's take a look around the grounds.
In netball, the Melbourne Vixens finished last in 2021, receiving the old wooden spoon. Fast forward a year and they're back in the grand final after an epic preliminary final saw the Vixens come from 9 points down at three-quarter time to win in the final seconds and earn that GF appearance with a 55-54 victory. Melbourne led early at a packed John Cain Arena. It was loud.
Really loud.
Atmosphere was on point. But the Giants weren't going to let them stroll into the side and went on a stunning run at the end of the second quarter, draining six super shots to outscore the home side 21-11 for that term and lead 28-26 at halftime. But the Vixens' goal shooter, Umwai Kumwenda, was immense, and her accuracy, scoring 36 from 37 shots, proved the difference. It was all tied up with a minute on the clock. That was a very intense last 60 seconds. Kumwenda appeared to hand the Giants an opportunity to claim victory following a costly turnover, but Emily Mannix came through with a match-saving intercept and Kumwenda made amends with the deciding goal in the dying seconds. But the difference did prove to be that accuracy from the shooting, with Vixen's goal attack, Rani Samerson adding 13 from 15 plus three super shots, which meant the Melbourne team shot at 91% accuracy for the entire match. Unfortunately, in comparison, the Giants duo of Joe Hutton and Sophie Dwyer missed 10 regular shots for an overall accuracy of 80%. It's right there, the numbers.
It is, and it's an interesting game like that. I feel like the numbers, the shooting percentage numbers often, I'm just going to stop talking because netball is not my game, but I feel like it makes sense.
Yeah, weird. If you like shoot more than the other team, then you usually win. Is that the same in any sport? If you score more than the other team, you win?
Oh, you're a jerk.
Yeah, good. Okay. Vixen star Liz Watson was again wonderfully candid post-match when she said, "We got ourselves in that situation so to see that fire and hunger in the end, we knew we were going to go all the way to the end and I'm so bloody excited from that." Blech, love her. She's my new fave. Vixen's goal defence, Jo Weston, was awarded the player of the match and she paid tribute to the home fans when she said, "We were very disappointed not to have the opportunity to host the home final, but we lost last week anyway. So we're just lucky to be back playing in front of our own incredible home crowd." So the Vixens will travel to Perth to face the West Coast Fever in the grand final next week, where they'll be looking for some revenge after an ordinary performance in the semi-final in week one.
In rugby league, the women's State of Origin match was exceptional. Mm. I loved it.
I'm going to just jump in here and share a little story. I was getting my coffee on Saturday morning and a table of seven or eight men aged between 50 and 70 waxing lyrical about the game.
How just, good.
They were like, "That was the best game of footy I've seen in so long." It was awesome.
That's very cool.
Yes.
It was a great game.
I wanted to chime in, but I just sat there and listened and smiled weirdly like a crazy person.
It's common. It's common for you. It was a pretty nail-biting match as well. Really high scoring, particularly in the first half, which was cool to see, like crossing for a few tries, which I think in previous years, last year, the result was 8-6 or something, so a bit more low scoring. It was a real roller coaster. The match was played in front of a record women's State of Origin crowd, 11,321 fans in Canberra. and it was a late try to Isabel Kelly that sealed the 20-14 win for Kylie Hilda's New South Wales team. Kelly went on to win the Player of the Match award, the Nellie Doherty medal, for a recorded game-high 186 metres to go with her 10 tackle breaks and match-deciding try. She's kind of one of those players, Isabel Kelly. She was just carrying and making metres every time she carried the ball. Not necessarily the glory. I mean, it was nice for her to finish with that try. Not getting a lot of glory, but just getting the hard work done. Along with Caitlin Johnson, she has to get a shout out. Mm. She was exceptional.
For mine, Isabel Kelly's intensity is just from opening whistle to the final. Like she, yeah, I wouldn't want to be playing against her.
She's solid, isn't she?
Yeah.
It was the first win for New South Wales after Queensland had won back-to-back Origins before this season, and you could see what it meant to the players at full time. It was the first time in New South Wales blue for Sevens convert Emma Tonegado, and her performance was, not surprisingly, very impressive. This try off the boot of Keeley Davis was awesome. Keeley, they almost did a dummy switch and then Keeley kicked it back on the other angle. Mm. And Emma ran and grounded it just before the dead ball line. It was an epic try.
Do you reckon
it was really
ET
cool.
called that kick?
I couldn't work it out, or whether she just reacted in time. Yeah. Like it kind of looked like maybe it was a bit of a set play that they'd practiced. Mm. But the execution and the weight of Keeley Davis's kick was perfect. Emma also chalked up 163 metres, 3 line breaks, and a couple of swear words in her halftime press conference.
Colour. We call it colour.
Sky Blues head coach Kylie Hilda heaped praise on our player of the match, Isabel Kelly, in her post-match conference. When she laughed, she says to me, "I didn't think I did anything." Kelly gives her all, and I'm just so lucky that she gets to play on my side and I get to coach her, and I'm so proud of her effort tonight. There were some really impressive performances in both teams, and Gillaroo's coach Brad McDonald, along with his World Cup selectors, have plenty of options to fill their squad for England in October. After the game, there was more chat around the decision to make season series only 2 matches, and there are plenty in the media calling for that to be up to 3 games ASAP.
Well, there was some international rugby league played on the weekend with an absolute busload of NRLW stars in action for both the New Zealand Kiwi Ferns and Mate Maatonga at Mount Smart Stadium on Saturday. The game was a doubleheader with the New Zealand and Tongan men's match following the women, and there was a huge crowd in attendance with the sold-out sign going up the day before the match.
The day before?
Yeah, sold out.
That's cool. Great.
The Kiwi Ferns proved to be a class above, and Tonga just had no answers for the firepower the Kiwis possessed. Wingers Madison Bartlett and Caitlin Vaha-Okolo spearheaded the Kiwi Ferns to a 50-12 domination, which included 11 tries. Paige McGregor scored on her New Zealand debut after just 5 minutes, and the tries continued at regular intervals throughout. There was plenty to like for the Kiwis, including Newcastle fullback Stevens Daly, who was dynamic with 157 run metres, 2 line breaks and 5 tackle breaks, while Georgia Hale ran for a huge 181 metres. Big shout out to Amy Turner, the Aussie Sevens Olympic gold medalist, who at the youthful age of 38, and she is a youthful 38.
She's a very youthful 38.
Made her rugby league test debut for the Kiwis.
So good.
And love you, Awe.
Love you, Awe. And the cutest picture with her 2 daughters by her side with her in her jersey. It was awesome.
An amazing athlete and human. And just because I can't let a rap go past without a little Jess Fox update, she, you know, just continued to dominate on the ICF World Cup circuit. Took a 3rd consecutive K1 crown on the weekend in Slovenia. She'd been feeling sick before the race, apparently riding the porcelain bus, the whole kit and caboodle.
Ooh.
Today's been a bit emotional because it's been a real mental battle. I was feeling really ill this morning and vomiting, so to actually make the final and then pull it out in the final and keep pushing to the finish, I'm so proud of that run. I can't believe I won today. Well, we can, Jess. You're a freak.
The paddle goat is a freak. In soccer, it was a long, early morning on Sunday for Matildas fans.
Did you get up?
I was waiting for that question. No, because I had to run a time trial on Saturday. We trained for about 3 hours on Saturday morning. I was cooked.
I obviously have some inside information here. How long did you nap for on Saturday afternoon?
1 to 2 hours.
So did you get up?
To watch the game?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, carry on.
Did you?
No, but I didn't say I was going to. Under promise, over deliver.
It's a much better way to go through life. The team was young and inexperienced, with almost the entire regular starting 11 missing due to injury or being rested. 6 of the players called into the squad were uncapped, and 9 more had 10 appearances or less at this level. They came up against a very good Spanish side that ranked 7th in the world and are 10 days away from kicking off a European championship campaign that they are considered one of the favourites to win. The Matildas went close to opening the scoring midway through the first half when Katrina Gurry, she's had a great comeback actually into the Matildas squad, she hit the crossbar from 20 metres out. But it was the Spanish who finally put the ball in the back of the net in the 44th minute when Aitana Bonmati scored to give her team a 1-0 lead at halftime. Unfortunately, the second half went downhill quickly for Australia, with Spain scoring 3 goals in 12 minutes. And after a dominant display, they really finished the job in the final 10 minutes when Lucia Garcia grabbed her second in the 81st minute and Irene Guerrero slotted 2 more to secure Spain a 7-0 thrashing. The result was the biggest losing margin since the US handed Australia a 9-1 loss in 1997 and equaled a 7-0 rout at the hands of China in 1988. Bez, I want to talk about this one because we know Tony Gustafsson is probably already under a little bit of pressure following his time so far at the helm of the Matildas team.
It is an interesting one. He's either very brave, has received some form of guarantee or assurance from Soccer Australia to say, Football Australia, sorry, to say, we understand what's happening here. Your job is safe because, you know, as you said before, this is a Spanish team gearing up for a major competition in 10 days. They had every single star out there. They had the Ballon d'Or winner out there. They were ready to go.
Mm.
And we kind of threw the kids to the wolves.
Yeah, I think there's probably different factors that you have to consider around season timings. We know so many of the Matildas play overseas in the US and in Europe. But if you could coordinate it, why would you not get these younger girls to play more minutes against New Zealand in those home friendlies rather than playing against one of the best teams in the world?
Mm.
And maybe that's a timing thing, or maybe against New Zealand they wanted to actually build some confidence. But like you say, throwing the kids to the wolves, they're not going to build any confidence playing against a team like Spain.
No. And the thing was, there was moments in that match, well, not moment, longer than moments, there were times in that match where they looked good.
Mm.
Yes, they probably parked the bus. There was not a lot of attacking going on. And that a lot of that might be down to the fact that we seem to have become so heavily reliant on Sam Kerr. They defended well for a large portion of that match.
Mm.
But you've got to, as we discussed in netball, you've actually got to score more than the other team to win.
Thank you for saying that again. Gustafsson used the opportunity to call on further investment and depth in the group. He said, I want to be clear now. This is not about blaming individual players for this loss. These players are more representing a situation we're in right now. We finished the game with 4 players playing in the NPL and 1 player playing in college. And to expect those players to match up to Spain is not fair on the individuals. But I'm ready to take that hit as a coach. I've said that from day one. We need answers and we need investment in our program.
So interesting. Is he actually having a dig at Football Australia?
That's a little bit what it sounds like.
Yeah, wow. Very interesting next couple of months, I think, for the Matildas.
Yeah, it really will be.
In swimming, the Swimming World Champs wound up in Budapest and Molly O'Callaghan has absolutely announced herself on the world stage. She'll be taking home 6 medals. A little bit of clinking going on.
How good.
Including a silver from Saturday's 4x100 medley relay. O'Callaghan produced a blistering last leg, but it wasn't quite enough to catch the Americans, who finished less than half a second in front of the Aussie team. The final night of swimming also saw Meg Harris produce a brilliant finish in the 50-meter freestyle, clocking 24.38 seconds to snatch a tie for third. I love the 50-meter freestyle. It is just...
Oh, it's stressful though, isn't
it? Jump
in, mm-hmm.
Go really fast and don't breathe. Please don't breathe.
Like most things over 50 metres, would you say?
I don't do things over 50 metres. I'm more a 5-metre burst kind of girl. It was a solid end to a successful meet that saw the Dolphins win 17 medals, including 6 gold, 9 silver and 2 dirty gold. It was a great effort given some of the biggest names in Australian swimming, including Ariana Titmus and Emma McKean, were not in Budapest. So the swimming's wound up, but the action continues in the wet stuff with the Australian Stingers.
It's weird.
The swimming is wound up, but the action continues in the pool. Boring. Okay. The swimming has wound up, but the action continues in the pool with the Australian Stingers qualifying for the quarterfinals at the Water Polo World Championships. A dominant 17-5 win over Brazil meant the new-look team with new coach Paul Overman at the helm didn't drop a match in the pool stages. That means they'll skip the round of 16 and await the winner of Hungary and Argentina in the quarterfinals. The competition now moves to Budapest for the finals, and Olympian Amy Ridge said winning three games in a row was a big confidence boost for the Stingers. We're really excited to get the win today and top our pool here in Sopron. We've finished our job here and what we set out to do. We're excited to move to Budapest and onwards towards the quarterfinal. That quarterfinal will be live and free on the Nine Network, and we'll update you with timings after that round of 16 match, so keep an eye on the socials.
In surfing, two-time world champion Tyler Wright, who featured on season 2 of the TFAT podcast, check it out, has been stuck at home in Australia after a visa issue ruled her out of competing at the World Surf League event in Brazil. Tyler's 2022 title hopes were already in some doubt after COVID-19 forced her out of the last event in Indonesia. Complications from the virus meant she was not ready to compete at the recent El Salvador Pro either, and that saw her ranking slide to 6th in the world. She was keen to claw her way back up at the Rio Pro in Rio de Janeiro, which started last week, but took to Instagram to explain that she was devastated to let everyone know that due to a transit visa not coming through in a specified time, I'm unable to make it to Brazil. All other alternative options were extensively looked into. However, the current travel climate meant it was impossible for me to arrive in time for the contest. Absolutely gutted. So much work went into getting me ready for Brazil with my team, absorbing this, and we keep moving forward. This, I even read this and I was like, I'm feeling for people like that. We've got a friend at the moment who got to the Australian passport office at what time? 3:30
this morning. The current travel climate is difficult.
It is very difficult.
There's no denying that. And when it starts to affect your job, it's, yeah, rough. Mm. Really, really rough.
So only the top 5 surfers qualify for the season-ending finals in California. We know that the WSL rules have changed this year. They've tried to make it almost more competitive and a bit more exciting at that top end. That means Wright will need some big results in the final 2 events of the year to be part of the title-deciding action. The last of the Aussie women in the event bowed out on the weekend in the quarterfinals, with Sally Fitzgibbons and Isabella Nichols failing to progress to the semifinals in Rio. So fingers crossed, Tyler can have a bit of a comeback.
Yeah, she's definitely got 2 wins left in her.
Easily. I believe in her. Let's take a look at the key story.
It's a big one. This is a bit of childhood hero worship going on here. In basketball, massive news in the basketball world last week when it was announced that legend Lauren Jackson will join the national team squad's camp this week. Jackson, who last played for the Opals 9 years ago and is now 41, has been playing for Albury Wodonga this year in the NBL 1 competition and killing it.
Killing it, racking up like, what, 40 points in 15 minutes or something silly.
Killing it. Do you know, watching some of those highlights that have made their way through to socials, I forgot what a good perimeter shooter she is.
I tell you all the time. Every time we talk about her, I say that. So I don't know why you forgot that.
Her final tournament was in 2013, the FIBA Oceania Women's Championship, in which the Opals beat New Zealand twice in the 2-game series to retain their title. The next steps were always meant to be the 2014 World Cup and the 2016 Olympics, but neither of those dreams came to fruition after she was not able to recover quickly enough from surgery on her heel and her knee in early 2014. She did push on. She got back on the court for the Canberra Capitals in the 2014-2015 season. That effort required synovial fluid to be drained from her knee on a weekly basis. That can't be pleasant.
No, it doesn't sound nice, does it?
No. Sadly, all of her efforts were in vain, and Jackson reluctantly retired during an Opals training camp in 2016. Her Opal dreams was over. Until now.
Oh, that was a good voice. In her time away from the court, she's definitely still stayed quite involved in the basketball world. She's pursued a career in basketball administration. She's been inducted into multiple halls of fame. She's been an advocate for the prevention of domestic violence. She's had her 2 children, Harry and Lenny. She's written a book about her career. She's done a fair bit, hasn't she?
Not been idle.
She has not done like the retirement blues of just going, disappearing into nothingness.
Getting fat in the Bahamas. That would be my retirement plan. Sorry, fatter.
I can't with you today. the fire for LJ clearly had not gone out, and she trialed using medicinal cannabis to ease the chronic knee pain she had experienced for the back half of her career. A therapeutic use exemption was received to allow her to continue using the drug while playing competitively with the Albury Wodonga Bandits. Her coach there, Matt Papps, worked with Jackson to make sure her return to the court was controlled and managed to get the best out of the sublimely talented player. He said last week, "It's basically gone from 15 to 20 minutes on the court to training every day, in the gym every day with her trainers, and now she trains all team trainings, all team sessions. Just seeing how her body has been able to hold up and how strong she's become, she's put in all the work and I think she's ready to go." It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Mm.
One of her former teammates and basketball royalty, Michelle Timms, I got to interview her on a panel the other day. It was pretty cool. Bloody legend. She believes that the return of LJ is just what the group needs after a pretty tumultuous time dealing with she who will not be named, because I've said I will not talk about her again. I want to discuss this with you, Bez.
This is great. I was wondering if you were going to say her name when I was typing it up.
I saw you smiling out of the corner of my eye just then. Do you take Lauren Jackson at, say she's at, it sounds like she's at full fitness, but say if you can only play her in a World Cup game, max 15 to 20 minutes, do you take her at someone who could play a whole game out?
If you think that there is a leadership and mentorship quality that she brings that's missing in the group at the moment, absolutely.
My answer is absolutely yes. I didn't even really need to hear your answer to change my mind. But
so it was a completely rhetorical question that you wanted me to just say, what do you think, Chloe?
I wanted you to send it back my way.
Yeah.
No, I completely agree with you. I think what she brings in a leadership and experience context is probably what the Opals have been missing over the past couple of years. And I think regardless of how many minutes she plays, also from a marketing perspective, I'm so excited for this home World Cup to see, you've seen the crowds. Have you seen some of the vision of some of the crowds in Albury?
It's going to be mad. And I think, like you said, it's not only her on-court for her teammates, the aura she carries for the opposition as well. They'll be double teaming her. Like, mm-hmm. even if she's not scoring big, she'll be making opportunities for others.
Yes. And I think what you said before about how good she is at the perimeter, that then drags someone out. You're drawing a big person out of the key to open up the key for another big to go in there and have scoring opportunities.
Have we just written up the game plan for the Opals?
You're welcome.
Done.
Sandy Brondello. Jackson has chatted a bit about her return and the way that she's taking it day by day. It's quite incredible, almost her level of humility in this approach. I think I kind of view it as if she decides she wants to play, she's a walk into the squad. But she said, every step of the way, I was just going through the process in terms of getting fitter. There have been a few setbacks and the last 3 weeks have been a whirlwind.
It's a wee, 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 wee big whirlwind.
She's actually 3 years old. There have been a few setbacks and the last 3 weeks have been a whirlwind, but it's a dream come true. The Opals camp begins on Monday and then there will be a cut after that. So I could be straight out.
As if.
I am not getting my hopes up as there are so many girls chasing that spot. I won't be shattered if I miss, as I'm still unsure whether I can compete at the top level.
Also, imagine being the person to be like, sorry, Lauren.
I took your spot.
You're just not going to make it this time. So her comments last week were pretty ominous. She said, it kind of feels like I'm a kid again vying for a position. When I found out I made it into that squad, I had a moment of shock. It's reality now and I'm getting back into the mind frame again of competing to wear the green and gold. I can see her in it. It's happening. Can't wait. Go the basketball goat. Do you think goats can dunk?
No, their legs are too short.
That's sad.
Let's move on. Let's take a look at what to watch.
In tennis, Wimbledon has started and you can watch all the matches on the Nine Network and Stan Sport. Serena Williams will be back on court after 12 months out of the game with her first round match against France's world number 113, Harmony Tan, taking place on Tuesday night.
Along with the water polo, the divers are hitting the pool at the Diving World Championships. You can catch all the action that started on Sunday night and continues until this Saturday, live and free on 9Now.
In Aussie rules, the VFLW Grand Final is this weekend and the Southern Saints earn their spot after a 20-point win over the KC Demons in the prelim final. The Saints will meet Essendon in the big one on Sunday at ETU Stadium in Port Melbourne. The bounce is at 12:15 p.m. and the match will be live and free on the 7 Network, AFL.com and the AFL Live official app.
And Sunday night is Suncorp Super Netball Grand Final night. The West Coast Fever will host the Melbourne Vixens for the title at RAC Arena in Perth. The match starts at 7 p.m. AEST and you can watch live on Foxtel and KO Freebies. And that's the wrap.
No Go the Giants.
No, sad. Shout out to Emily on Twitter, who's going to miss my Go the Giants every week. I enjoyed that a lot. Great job today.
Well, 4 out of 10.
Okay, that's a low score. Tuesday morning next week, we'll see you then.
See you then.